This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. In Indonesia, aftershocks have been a daily occurrence since December's deadly earthquake and tsunami. Today was different. Today's quake was huge. It registered a magnitude 8.7. That compares with the 9.0 that hit the day after Christmas. The epicenter was again off the Indonesian island of Sumatra, a little more than 100 miles south of December's quake.
Reporter Tim Johnston of the Times of London is in Jakarta, Indonesia, the capital. What are you hearing from the areas hit by this earthquake, Tim?
Well, as dawn breaks across Indonesia, the death toll seems to be climbing. Hundreds, according to the police, killed on the island of Nias, which is off the west coast. And I think, unfortunately, as the day progresses and they manage to get helicopters out to the more remote areas, that number will climb. However, I do think it's unlikely that it will climb to the sort of numbers that we saw in December. That was 220,000 dead in Indonesia alone. This is mostly victims of collapsing buildings. And, of course, a lot of buildings were collapsed in that December earthquake. And a lot of those dead in December were because of a tsunami. And luckily, we don't seem to appear to have had a tsunami in this occasion.
On the other hand, just to hear that a couple of hundred or more than that people have died in Banda Aceh, in the place that was so devastated by the tsunami, it just must be a tremendous stress that people have been living with in that part of the world.
Indeed. I mean, a lot of people were so badly traumatized by the December earthquake and the tsunami, and they've gotten used to sort of minor tremors since 5.8, 5.9, 6, sometimes up to 6.3 or 4. This was way the largest earthquake since then. And some people had started to get their confidence back. They'd started to move down towards their old houses to rebuild on the footprint of their old houses. And I think this will probably give them calls for thought and perhaps to reconsider where they might rebuild their lives.
What can you tell us about Nias Island, the spot that seems to have really taken it very hard this time?
Nias is just south of the epicenter. It's a slightly peculiar island in Indonesian terms in that it's quite remote, but it has been colonized by surfers. It's very popular, particularly with Australian surfers. There are very good waves that come in off the Indian Ocean. So it had slightly more infrastructure than most others. It had bigger buildings, which, of course, in an event like this also means greater casualties.
It would seem, logically, that if there's any silver lining to an earthquake just 3 months after the earthquake and tsunami of December, it would be that emergency services would be more prepared to deal with things now. Is that fair to say?
I think it is. I think possibly two things. One, that the infrastructure, the emergency infrastructure, is in place in terms of helicopters. There are ships that are carrying food down the west coast already. They can be diverted to Nias and Simalu to help the people there. And I think also, if we're looking for silver linings, the fact that there wasn't a tsunami, there are still a lot of people camped out on that coast. And although they did run for the hills, I think probably if there was a major tsunami, the casualty toll would be a lot higher.
Tim Johnston, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
It's reporter Tim Johnston, who writes for the British daily, The Times of London, speaking to us from the Indonesian capital, Jakarta.